Good morning, all.
We'll call to order the Alaska State Legislature's Legislative Council. Today is April 9th, 2013. We're meeting at 8 a.m. in the Senate Finance Room in Juneau. I'm Representative Mike Hawker chairing. Madam Secretary, could you call our roll for us, please?
Here.
Representative Wilson. Senator Huggins.
Present.
Senator Cogdill.
Here.
Senator Egan.
Here.
Senator McGuire.
If you're late, here.
The back seat.
Senator Meyer.
Here.
Senator Stevens.
Here.
Vice Chairman Tickey. Present. Chair Hawker.
Present. So we do have a quorum to conduct business. In time that we were calling the roll, we have also been joined by Vice Chair Machicki, Representative Chenault, and Representative Pruitt. So we have a super quorum going on. Today we've got a couple of just pieces of, again, legislative, administrative business to accommodate, move the meeting as quickly as we can. And let's see, did you get a motion sheet, Senator Machicki, here? When you weren't in the room, I gave it to Senator Huggins, but do you have one?
I do, thank you.
All right. Senator Machicki, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the March 21st, 2013 Ledge Council meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the minutes from the Ledge Council meeting of March 21st, 2013 be approved as presented.
The question before the committee is the approval of the March 21st, 2013 Legislative Council minutes. Is there objection? Hearing seen none, those minutes stand approved. Madam Secretary, we've also been joined now by Representative Johnson. I'll now entertain a motion for the ratification of the charity events that were on our agenda. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Legislative Council ratify the following charity events, which were previously sanctioned by the Ledge Council Chair in accordance with AS 2460-080A-2B, Midnight Sun Charity Shoot benefiting the Outdoor Heritage Foundation of Alaska, JACC Wine Tasting benefiting the Juneau Arts and Humanities Council, and the 21st Annual Cole Classic Golf Tournament benefiting Alaska Resource Education.
So the question before the committee is the ratification of those charity events. Is there objection? Hearing seen none, so that motion is approved. Oh, we've really at the substance of our meeting here today. We have three contract issues to approve. We've got the first item on our agenda is a contract for what is called the Capitol Stair Landing. And I would like that project, if I could have Pam or Don, whoever's the appropriate person, to put on the record what we're asking for approval for and perhaps answer questions, any questions the committee might have. Mr. Johnson, welcome, sir. If you'd introduce yourself for folks that don't know you, and if they don't, it's at their peril.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Don Johnston, Building Manager for Legislative Affairs Agency. The project before you we're seeking approval for is for the addition of an area on the Capitol Stair landing in the courtyard to semi-enclose that area to create a smoking area away from the main entrance on the second floor. That's it in a nutshell. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
And it's my understanding you took this out for an ITB. You received three qualified respondents. And I guess at first, is my understanding correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair. Tina Strong, the contract officer, handles all of that side of the business for me. But it is here in the memo. Yes, you're correct.
And what you're proposing is accepting the lowest bidder on this one, North Pacific Erectors from Douglas, Alaska. I guess I would in your esteem, is accepting the lowest bid in this case the appropriate thing for the Legislative Council to do?
Mr. Chairman, that is correct. I do believe that this is in the best interest of the agency to do this with this contractor at this price.
Thank you. Questions from the committee?
Mr.
We'll go with Senator Stevens, then Representative Stoltz.
Just wondering, Mr. Chairman, if in the best interest of the legislators who smoke, it might be best we just buy a bunch of anti-smoking patches instead.
Would you like to make that as an amendment to the motion?
Just a thought.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When I believe it was late in last year, all these meetings flow together. Sometime in the last calendar year, under a different chairman, when we approved improvements for the Capitol, it was to center on life safety priorities. And is this coming out of that same fund of money we've authorized?
As far as the fund source, Pam, could you come up and respond to that answer, that question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Pam Varney, Executive Director of the Legislative Affairs Agency. To answer your question through the chair, Representative Stoltz, the legislature has approximately $16 million in available capital funds for projects that are put before Legislative Council and authorized by Legislative Council.
Thank you. I'm sort of trying to get that on the record indirectly. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one other item. I'm probably just as concerned about folks that making sure that we protect the integrity of those who don't want to engage in secondhand smoke is probably the larger concern, because it is an entrance, not the major entrance, but an entrance to the Capitol. So, no other questions, sir.
And thank you. And Pam, I would note that that money you refer to is segregated into any number of subaccounts and allocations.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. There are some designated areas, like for reheating the Capitol, and part of it is set aside also for the exterior repair. But there are some other funds for technology and also some projects that are approved by Legislative Council.
And I would point out that that information is included in the monthly legislative expenditure statements in detail that every – does it just go to leadership, or does it go to the entire legislature?
Mr. Chairman, it is sent to every budget and audit committee member and every Legislative Council member, so that's approximately 28 to 30 legislators. So half of the legislature receives it, and it's available to all members if they would like it.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Further question? Senator Coghill.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if we could just get a little brief description. I know we have a canopy over the stairs now, and if I could just get a brief description. We're not going to take up any parking space, be my guess, but as it moved further back, is it a platform? I just haven't seen it.
The canopy gets built over my parking space. I jest. Mr. Johnston?
Chair, Senator Coghill, where you come out of the upper parking garage onto the landing before you proceed down the stairs, there's already some steel beams and columns in place there. We're just expanding that first landing to take up that additional space. So we're not taking up any space in the
back into that courtyard area.
That is correct. And then it'll have some glass sides onto it to semi-protect the area.
Okay. All right. That's all I wanted to know.
Thank you, Senator Coghill. Further questions? Hearing see none, that motion stands approved. Thank you very much, all. Okay, the second item in front of us is the first construction phase of, and Madam Chair for the, or Madam Secretary for the record, we have been joined by Representative Gruenberg. The next question before us is the first phase of the Capitol building exterior restoration. This involves the seismic retrofit and repair to the portico out front. And If we could get a motion on the table. Senator Machicki, sir.
I move that the Legislative Council approve the award of ITB 590 Alaska State Capital Seismic Retrofit and Exterior Renovation Phase 1 to Alaska Commercial Contractors, Inc. in the amount of $1,722,000 or $722,800.
I'll object for the conversation. Likewise, Mr. Johnston, Pam, can you explain with a little bit of detail for everyone what this entails? I would note that this is the very first phase of the exterior retrofit pursuant to the design and plan and bid contract to an architect to set up the bid documents that was released or approved and released by this committee in last December, and it is the subject of the 2-inch thick book that we distributed to every member at the last meeting. So, Mr. Johnston.
This is the first phase of two phases for the exterior project. The work pertains to the crawl space area under the building and the portico only. What it involved is removal and salvage of components to the portico at the main entrance of the building, beginning vertically from the granite portico slab up to the second floor windows and horizontally from the east column to the west column. All sandstone and brick will be moved to expose existing structural concrete. Selected components, which will be sandstone and light fixtures, will be salvaged for reinstallation or used for information purposes to replicate and or fabricate new replacements in phase two. Basically, the sandstone railings on the portico, if they're not salvageable, they will be retained so they can be duplicated in phase two to replicate the original construction of the building. Excuse me. Also involved in this project is structural work related to reinforcing the portico in preparation for future finish work. New concrete pilasters will be constructed where the non-structural sandstone and brick was removed and mechanically fastened to the existing structural concrete. Currently, the sandstone that's there now doesn't have any structural purpose, and it's not mechanically fastened to the concrete. It's just primarily just mortar. It's standing there up against the building. New concrete pilasters will be fastened to the existing structural concrete. New concrete pilasters and existing marble columns will support a new concrete lintel and beam and slab, which will end up being the roof of the portico. Along with that work, a contractor will be core drilling a 4-inch hole down through the four columns, through the granite base and into the existing concrete foundation to install steel reinforcing pinning and pump in grout. This is to tie all those columns together as they are currently right now. They're just stacked on top of each other with a small, just a couple inches of a marble, you know, so they could topple over. The pinning will tie them all together. Installation of steel brackets and a beam around the second floor windows right outside the lounge windows will be installed as temporary shoring. The temporary shoring is to support the brick facade up above there, above the portico, which will be removed in phase two. Column stone repair, injection of epoxy into the cracks of the columns will be performed to tie it all together. Oxide stain removal, removing the stains from the columns, rehoning of the aged and deteriorated surface to produce an even sheen, and repointing of mortar joints and an application of water repellent to the columns. Also, now we'll move to the crawl space. Excuse me. Under the building, there will be a repair of concrete structural members in the crawl space. Concrete columns, beams, and floor joists have spalled concrete and corroded, exposed steel reinforcing, requiring repair or replacement. Some of the steel is corroded enough that they will have to cut that out, replace with new. Some of it can be just cleaned up and recovered. All those details are in the construction documents. Also underneath, will be the cleaning of existing storm drain system and providing an additional drain for the crawl space. Essentially, what we'll be doing is cleaning the storm drains of the building from the courtyard out here throughout the crawl space. New PVC and perforated pipe will be added under the building to collect groundwater and runoff under the building and divert it to catch basins on the exterior of the building. We do have quite a bit of water running under the building. That just there was never any drainage in place over the years during the original construction. There was some French drains out here in the courtyard. Those have since been plugged up for quite some time, and that's the reason for the cleaning there. We believe that they're salvageable and still okay. They just need to be cleaned. Replacement of existing waste lines of the building. We have aging, deteriorating waste lines. Those will also be replaced as work underneath the port or under the crawl space. To perform a lot of this work, a removal of excess earth from the crawl space will be required. That'll be primarily to access and expose the spalled concrete columns, beams, the floor joists, and for cleaning of the existing storm drain and installation of the new drains and replacement of existing waste lines. Also, the soil will be removed so there can be proper grading for proper drainage to the new storm lines. Project completion date is October 30th, 2013. That's the project in a nutshell. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
And thank you, Mr. Johnston. Are there questions regarding this contract award? And again, I'd ask the same question. This is being proposed to award it to Alaska Commercial Contractors of Juneau, Alaska, the amount of $1.7+ million. Is it your opinion that, and this is the lowest bidder on this work, is it your opinion that the lowest bid on this work is the appropriate contract for us to accept, and are they capable and qualified in all respects?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I do believe that this is the right contractor and a good price. ACC has performed work for LAA in the past with more than satisfactory results.
I have a question, Mr. Chair.
Senator Michicki, sir.
Actually, someone asked me this the other day. I was going to just carry it forward. But what will be the temporary entrance when the front steps are out of service, if you will?
Through the chair, Senator Michicki. The main entrance will be accessible as long as they're not performing any overhead work. We still have a pre-construction meeting with the potential contractor. We have a few options of building, tunnel, if you will. You may have seen some similar things on sidewalks, on buildings, downtown Anchorage or other cities. We're going to keep the main entrance, the majority of open, as much as possible. When that's not possible, we will be rerouting traffic most likely to the Seward Street entrance or the Main Street entrance. But the Main Street entrance will be accessible when possible.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Senator Michicki. Further questions? Brings us back to the main question. The question before the committee is the approval of the motion to award this contract to the Alaska Commercial Contractors in the amount of $1.722,800. Is there objection? Hearing see none, we did that. And it was just pointed out to me, I was moving a little too fast in the expediency of these late session early mornings. I believe we never put a motion on the table for the building of the Fire Dragon Smoking Lounge. So, Mr. Michicki, if you would make a motion for the Capitol Stair Landing Project.
I move that Legislative Council approve the award of ITB 589 Capitol Stair Landing to North Pacific Erectors, Inc. in the amount of $73,835.
The question before the committee is the approval of the award of ITB 589 in the amount of $73,835. We've discussed this. Is there objection? Hearing see none, that is accomplished. And again, my apologies for missing that overlooking that small item of a formal motion on the way through the first time. Okay, the next construction item on our agenda is the inevitable problems we encounter when we go into our older buildings here, the work over at the state office building where we are remodeling the space that was vacated by Ledge Finance to be occupied by the Legislative Audit Division, which has been discussed at length in both the Legislative Budget Committee and here in the Ledge Council Committee over the past year. Probably coming as not a lot of surprise to anyone, when they cracked the space, they encountered ductwork that had had asbestos overspray one more time. I mean, welcome to the legacy of the people that built buildings in that era. The request is that we have a change order for asbestos remediation in the amount of $201,578. And who in the gallery would like to present on this issue? Laura, if you'd introduce yourself and explain the request.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Laura Pierre. I'm staff to Senator Faircloth in the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. I'm here in my capacity as project director of the remodel for the legislative audit remodel at the state office building. As you stated, Mr. Chairman, the total amount requested for this change order is $201,578. The breakdown of that is $74,961 for architect and engineering work, $96,617 for removal and replace ductwork, and $30,000 for contractor downtime that we have to pay while the contractors aren't actually working on the job. And with that, Mr. Chairman, that's the change order request.
There are further questions regarding this request for the Ledge Council Chair to approve the change order? Hearing seen none. Senator Michicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Legislative Council approve change order number 2 in the amount of $201,578 for additional asbestos abatement and environmental monitoring on the Legislative Audit State Office Space Remodel Project, RSA, with the Department of Administration from existing legislative funds authorized by the Council Chair.
Is the question before the committee is change order number 2. Is there objection? Hearing see none. Thank you very kindly. We'll continue that project. We don't want our auditors swimming in asbestos, although there are some people right now that would probably enjoy that vision. Thank you all. Do appreciate that. Last item of business on our regular agenda today is the it's a recurring item that Ledge Council addresses every year. Our IT subcommittee works with across the legislature, reviews our equipment status in everyone's office, and has an annual request for the constant rolling and upgrading of equipment as necessary to maintain offices in all the legislative buildings and for all legislators. There's a memo from the IT subcommittee folks that put together the request. It's in our packet there. And I believe we've got Mr. Curtis Clothier who can speak to that request.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Curtis Clothier. I'm the Information Services Manager for Legislative Affairs. Yes, thank you. Rep. Pocker, you've summarized it very well. We're here before you today for the 2013 request. The IT subcommittee met last Friday and reviewed the equipment that we have listed in the memo here. It jives with our annual, our 3-year plan, totals of approximately 100 CPUs this year, replacing black and white and color printers, as well as purchasing some additional computer monitors that will be distributed through the rules chairs to the two bodies. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
I would state as well that, we get a lot of requests from legislators for the newest, the latest, the greatest, the smallest, the fastest equipment. And I would like to put on the record as a directive from the chair that we want equipment to be replaced when its utility is used up, not necessarily when it's a vanity request by a legislator. And I'd ask you to be judicious in replacing any particular equipment and make sure that we've utilized its useful economic life for us before it is replaced, just for a request for something either with a smaller footprint or just because it may be a skosh faster or some such thing. I think you appreciate my request.
Yes, sir.
Representative Pruitt, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to actually dig just a little deeper into the CPU. You mentioned we're replacing the majority of the CPUs. Why are we replacing CPUs with CPUs and not looking at laptops and docking stations, something like that that can be moved easier, especially since we tend to move everything multiple times a year?
Thank you. Rep. Pruitt, through the chair. Next week, I will be sending in a survey out to each legislative office asking for their preference with regards to whether they'd like a laptop upgraded to a better laptop or a desktop computer upgraded to a better desktop. We do try and push the advantages of laptops to offices. Obviously, the point you made was great. They're portable, they're easy on the move and such. We've done surveys for the last 5 years, and it is almost it's consistent every year. About 75% of the people want desktop computer replacements, and only 25% of the folks want laptop replacements. Perhaps with more iPads being in the inventories out there, people may start looking in that direction. But people like desktop computers.
And I put myself on the record as being one of these guys who, frankly, prefers the installed desktop equipment. And if I had my personal way, this is me speaking as an individual, not as the chair of this committee, but I frankly am very uncomfortable with the legislature providing individual legislators with mobile technology. I really think it ought to be confined to offices, but that's just my opinion.
And if I might add, Mr. Repacher, in terms of the computer age that we're replacing, you can look at industry standards for replacing computers and laptops. Computers are generally replaced on the 3 to 4 year cycle. Legislators on about a 6 year cycle right now with our oldest equipment. Likewise with laptops, the laptops we're replacing were originally purchased in 2006. We've got some black and white printers out there from 2001, so we are making really good use of the equipment we have. It's pretty well maintained, and when we do replace them, the printers are squeaky, or it really can't be serviced at an economic value.
Thank you, sir. Further questions for Mr. Clothier?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Michiki.
Just to translate what you're both saying, essentially is that so instead of going for the newer, smaller, lighter, what we do is we shift the six-year-old equipment to the new guys, and the rest of you around the table are enjoying some pretty state-of-the-art equipment. And I appreciate that. That's the way it should work. Just wanted to clarify.
And I would actually take a little exception to that because I have made it a point in my office, and my staff will tell you they keep trying to get me to upgrade, and I stick with the old equipment until these guys force me to get rid of it.
That's true.
And that will be validated by Mr. Clothier.
Yes.
Representative Chenault, sir.
Mr. Chairman,
you have some very nice chisels.
Yeah. I can chisel just about anything out. Mr. Chairman, what you find is you find older people like ourselves that need bigger monitors. That's why we CPs instead of laptops, because it's easier to see.
Further questions for Mr. Clothier? Representative Pruitt, sir.
Just to respond to that, that's why you have docking stations, Mr. Speaker. That's why you have docking stations. You can dock it. You keep your big screen in.
New technology.
I'm sorry. I don't want to throw that out.
But sincerely, are there further questions for Mr. Clothier on the issue? Senator Michiki.
No, but prior to us digressing much further, I have a motion, Mr. Chairman.
I think that's probably a good idea, Mr. Michicki.
I move that Legislative Council approve the solicitation award and expenditure not to exceed $136,000 for the purchase of computers, printers, and monitors.
So the question before the committee is the approval and award of the purchase of computers, printers, and monitors in an amount not to exceed $136,000 in accordance with the memo presented to the Legislative Council for approval. Is there objection? Hearing see none, so ordered. That brings us to other business. Does anyone else have any business to bring before the committee at this time? Hearing see none, I have one small item, and I haven't had a chance to talk to everyone, but I've been following up and talking with folks on capital security issues and study or our work to move forward on that as brought the request brought forward to us by Senator Stevens last meeting. As I've thought through it and talked with various members here, capital security is such a paramount issue. I think it behooves that, again, it's another burden that belongs in the laps of the senior members of our leadership team. But we also need to be sure we have guidance of folks that are quite interested in that. So I'm prepared to appoint that subcommittee. I haven't had a chance to speak with anyone, and if anyone that I'm going to appoint does not want to serve on it, please feel free to contact me. Senator Stevens, I hope you would be willing to chair that subcommittee. I very much appreciate your objective view, and since you brought it up and with your concern, I think it's a very important activity to undertake. I will add to that subcommittee myself as chair of the Legislative Council. I would add both of our presiding officers, Representative Chenault, Senator Huggins, and our rules chairs, in that we have the divided responsibility between presiding officers, ledge council, and rules chairs for the management of security in our buildings at different times during the legislative year. That would add Representative Johnston and Senator McGuire. I'd also like to have a minority representative on that, and in that we have one minority representative, that would be Representative Gruenberg, who has expressed interest in security in Anchorage. Maybe a little bit large for a subcommittee, but in that it's going to have a bunch of work to do. That certainly makes certain that Senator Stevens has a good group of people to draw on with a great deal of diverse opinion on that matter. So with that, that's consider that a subcommittee appointed to take up that issue. Presume that'll occur over the interim period here. With that, Ms. Pam, is there any business you'd like to bring before the committee? I hear see none from Legislative Affairs. Ms. Lucky, anything else that we need to bring before the committee? Members of the committee, hearing see none, we are adjourned.